Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Happy Savvy Women's History Month. This month, we'll be sharing never-before-heard intimate interviews, such as this one with fellow panelists at CSULB, Cal State University Long Beach Rise and Resist Conference.
Hello, hello. Welcome to an episode of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. We're actually from Cal State Long Beach, which is my alma mater. And I actually was on a panel today moderating a panel called Be the Unicorn. And so lucky am I that two of the ladies got to stick around to do this intro podcast. And I wanted to do this podcast particularly because it happens to be for Women's History Month in March, which is going to be an amazing month about highlighting women that are doing money moves, that are doing things that are improving not only their own career, but how they are changing the lives of their children and their families and their communities. So what better way but to have these women that were on today's panel. I have Ms. Ebony Jones and Ms. Jennifer Miyamoto Echeverria, part of this panel, talking about money, talking about how we were brought up around money and what we wish we would have known back in college. So first off, I'm actually gonna start off with Ms. Ebony. Do you remember the first time that you were paid, whether it was a 9-to-5 or a side hustle, that made you think differently about money?
Oh yeah. I remember my first job was El Pollo Loco.
Hey.
And I worked on a work permit and I had to, you know, have the grades and everything to get that. And I remember I got my first check and I had to, you know, back then you had to go to the check cashing place, cash it. I cashed my check, and when I got home to tell my mom about it and tell her that I cashed it, I had lost half the money on the walk home.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, God.
Because it was in my back pocket. So that was interesting. The other half I spent on my friends. We went to the movies, and we had lunch, and it was pretty awesome, but I didn't have any money left. And I don't know if I processed that I wasn't going to get another paycheck for another 2 weeks.
Oh, let's talk about that in a minute, about spoiling our friends, which is a good thing, too. That means you're a giving person, but talk about that too. So Ms. Jennifer, do you remember the first time you got paid, whether it was a 9-to-5 or something on the side?
I think the first time, I'm going to talk about two times. The first time I got paid was for this job that I was able to get for only 2 weeks, because it was in between the first semester and the second semester of college. And so by the time I finally got a job, there was only 2 more weeks left of vacation. So I was paid in cash, which was great, because it was just like, you know, it was at this little boutique, and it was this woman who, first-time business owner, Latina, like, really, it was exciting to work with her. She trusted me way too much of opinions and experiences from other people that she can learn from, so that it's not just that parent-child, I'm telling you to do this. This is how you should do it. Because there's a natural thing that happens where kids push back when it comes to their parents. And so you need your kids to have maybe some other areas that they can look at to make that decision on their own when they do reach that point.
I think that's really powerful, because earlier we were talking about knowing your tribe, right? Who your group is, the people that you surround yourself with. And you're mentioning, like, you're not your own bubble with your children, and just kind of like her. And by the way, her kid's only under 5.
Right.
Under 5. But I love that, because she's a smart little cookie. And you start seeing that they emulate what we're doing. If they're constantly thinking that we're just shopping like crazy, buying bags or shoes that don't help us as a person or as women, period, right? I think that's something that's really powerful for children to start seeing early on. And it's always cool to have, I get to have my own friends on once in a while in a podcast like this, but I've known these women professionally and personally for almost 2 decades now. I just let us know how old we're getting right out of college. But I think that's the beautiful part too, because I think, you know, especially being on campus with recent college grads, or excuse me, soon to be college grads, we see that the disconnect isn't there yet. I mean, we definitely can still relate to what they're going through. So many of them were crying, listening to what all of you had to say about your experiences going through college, figuring it on your own. How is it that you're implementing this? Because you also have a young man, let's say, because, oh my God, I don't want to say that, but yes. What is it that you're doing to implement for him to see that you're making the right money moves, but what is he doing for himself too?
For myself, I have a 13-year-old. That even sounds weird. But being the mother of a teenager, it's been important to me because I'm a sociologist by trade. So I'm aware that society raises my son. I try and give him everything that I can, and I call it watering my creation. So I try to give him all the stuff that, and by no means am I trying to keep him from learning on his own, because his route is going to be his route. But I need him to understand things that I didn't understand, like 401k. I had no idea what that was. I had no idea what a retirement was. I had no idea what the difference was between a savings account and an IRA. You know, I just knew that you went to the bank and got an account.
Right.
An account that I let get overdrawn endlessly while I was in college. And the game is not the same now. So it's like, you know, overdrawing comes with big fees and big penalties, and you have to pay for those consequences later. So I just try and lead by example, like Natalie said. You know, I don't go out and buy the fabulous bags and the shoes and stuff, because he worked a job over the summer and he took his money and he did something that I was very proud of. You know, I feel like it's rubbing off on him, because he made $600 working his summer job, and I had the check in my drawer for 2 months, and I said, Don, you want to cash your check? He's like, for what? You know, and I just felt so proud that he didn't want to cash it, you know. And then when he finally had to, it was going to expire, you know, he's like, well, Mom, can you just put it in my account? I don't want to spend it.
Good.
And, you know, for me, that was a good choice, a solid choice that he made on his own. So to see him, you know, navigating money the way he's doing, I feel honored to, you know, just to say that, you know, my parenting is a little good. But in addition, he's making solid decisions. He doesn't want to spend on the Knox scary form trip his friends are going on. And he didn't want to spend on a video game. He's like, no, I want to keep saving.
You know, more kids can hear that. I think that'd be pretty great. And it's kind of like finding that balance. And like how you're saying, you want him to enjoy it too. But I think that's really crucial for, as you see them developing as people and as us as adults now. It's just kind of, it's funny to think back. I've known these ladies for a very long time. And so it's like when you see yourselves in your 20s and your 30s, and I don't even want to say it's to be 40s, it's an incredible journey, really. And so kind of how you surround yourself is so crucial. And I think about Women's History Month, when I think about talking about money, especially within our society, it's such a stigma still, especially amongst women. And it's like, how often, you know, you ask, how often do you talk to your girlfriends about your 401k or your savings, or what's your next career move? We had this conversation many times over, and it's kind of, you need to be able to piggyback off of someone and say, hey, is this a smart move, or am I going to shoot myself in my career doing this? And sometimes you need to hear someone else other than your brain to kind of like give you a few options, right? And ultimately you make that decision. I want to be able to have you guys back individually as well, because I think it's a topic we need to talk about with how do we start this conversation with children. I say as early as possible, even before they start speaking a language, period, start talking about money, because it's a foreign language for most of us. And so our children can be fluent in it. And even if they're going to have to teach us how we go about it, that's okay with me. But before we end, I would love for each of you to maybe share a few resources, maybe books or podcasts or something that resonates with you when you think about what's helped you on your money journey, or learning a little bit about financial literacy, or what is it that you plan to read because you know this is something that would be good for your either career or for your family?
Well, I love the Financially Savvy series. That's always
I didn't pay up to do that.
One of my favorites. I wish I had it in hand that, you know, graduating during high school. I've bought it for high school and college grads because I think it's just the basics. It lays out very clearly what you should and should not probably do when you come out of school and when you're on your own and you're making those decisions. A podcast I really like actually as well is Death, Sex, and Money.
Oh yes,
I love
I'm
that podcast.
Fan of
hers. You know, it's very heartfelt and it really speaks to me. But what I really like about it as well is I think when I think of my own journey and the times where I've had ups and downs financially, a lot of times it was tied into relationships, or it was tied into people passing away, things like that, people becoming really ill and having
to kind of drop everything and you know, you kind of put things on the back burner. And so because those things are so tied in together, I think that's just a normal part of life. And there's good things that you can't always anticipate. And so I just really like the series itself because it really goes into people's lives and talks about stories of how people have overcome things and what they've done to do that.
I love that. Actually, that was one of maybe my favorite podcasts in the beginning to when I started. I'm like, I just binge watched on all of them because yeah. It's these topics. Well, I was like, obviously the money got me, but the death is the one that most of us don't want to talk about. That's when our financial turmoil, hardships really come about. So, I mean, we can have a whole conversation, multiple of these, which I plan to with all of you. So I think that's a great recommendation. And for you?
For me, life-changing, a book that was really life-changing for me is definitely Be You and Live Civil by Karen Civil. It just kind of gets things in perspective for you. So it's like, you know, money is a scary topic in relationships, in families, you know, like, it sounds funny, but I always tell myself, like, the scariest thing for me having an ill parent was always saying I never wanted to be the person who had to have a car wash because my parent passed away. Yeah. So for me, it was always important to figure that out, what it looked like, right? What did I need to have saved? What did I need to invest in so that I wouldn't have to ever be that kid? Because I'm the only child, so I had to figure that out. For me, another book was Unlearn, and it's a guide to simple truths, but really what it is to just be like, you know, I remember Natalie was embarking on her journey with her book, and it took so much, and she probably doesn't know this, but it took so much of me to be candid with my friend about my financial situation and tell her that I needed her help. And I did. So I took the class. I'm going to cry.
I'm holding my tears back. If you're watching this, you can see it. But obviously on the podcast, you're listening. We're holding our tears here.
I know. But she changed my life. I went from probably, my credit score was like not even on the plane.
This is girlfriend time, right?
Exactly, right. To where it needed to be so that I could buy my home and take care of my kids. But people don't have those conversations. Those are unheard of in our cultures. You know, like, you don't talk about your finances with people, and you don't tell people that you're broke, and you don't tell people that you have no savings. Like, you just let people have those conversations around you, and you just agree. But you never admit, like, I'm there too. I don't understand. So to have to call my friend and be like, you know, I'm sitting here in my pride saying that I don't know how to get on track. But I have a friend who has a best-selling book who can help me. And I had to make that call. And she's like, no. And I'm like, Natalie, I can't afford to come here. And she's like, I'll carry it here. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, do you need anything to get here? You know, but it's just the idea that I had to take it. And I took it and I did the whole round. And I was able to recover my credit on my own. And
get myself, a powerhouse, by the way.
And yes, to get myself where I needed to be. But I know that I have to tell that testimony so that people can know you're not alone.
Right.
You know, like, we all make mistakes on our journeys, and financially I make the biggest mistakes, you know, leaving relationships and having to do it on my own. So it's important that you you admit where you are so that you don't go too long without recovering your finances.
It's nothing to be shameful of. Yeah. It's on that list of things we don't talk about. Oh, it's not something to be shameful of.
20 minutes is never enough, but I know if you're wanting to listen, we'll definitely have to do a follow-up one because it's touching all these bases, and it speaks to where we're from too in Los Angeles. And I get teary when you're saying about the car wash, because that's really why I started writing it and why I started doing these type of platforms, because we live in LA and weekly I get emails or GoFundMe, or I see it just driving down my street, people asking for money to pay for funeral expenses, and it's usually for loved ones like children and people that you just don't expect to die right away. So I felt like, it's there. So if you want definitely to get in contact with these ladies, make sure you watch the show notes. We'll have all their contact information, because you definitely want to watch women that are doing amazing things, not just for themselves, for their children, for the communities. And these are the women that I'm proud to not only call friends and colleagues, but amazing change within who we are as people, as how we represent others. Stay tuned for another episode of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. For your time today.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.